is taken this morning from the book of Amos, chapter 4. We take a break from our series in the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ to deal with an Old Testament passage and with a very strange subject this morning that we trust will prove relevant to the time in which we live and to those that are assembled here. We read from verses 4 through 12. Come to Bethel and transgress. At Gilgal multiply transgression. And bring your sacrifices every morning and your tithes after 3 years. And offer a sacrifice of thanksgiving with leaven. And proclaim and publish the free offerings. For this liketh you, O ye children of Israel, saith the Lord God. And I also have given you cleanness of teeth in all your cities, and want of bread in all your places. Yet have ye not returned unto me, saith the Lord. And also I have withholden the rain from you, when there were yet 3 months to the harvest. And I caused it to rain upon one city, and caused it not to rain upon another city. One piece was rained upon, and the piece whereon it rained not, withered. So two or three cities wandered into one city to drink water, but they were not satisfied. Yet have ye not returned unto me, saith the Lord. I have smitten you with blasting and mildew, when your gardens and your vineyards and your fig trees and your olive trees increased. The palmer worm, that is the locust, devoured them, yet ye have not returned unto me, saith the Lord. I have sent among you the pestilence, after the manner of Egypt. Your young men have I slain with the sword, and have taken away your horses, and I have made the stink of your camps to come up unto your nostrils, yet ye have not returned unto me, saith the Lord. I have overthrown some of you as God overthrew Sodom and Gomorrah, and ye were as a firebrand plucked out of the burning, yet ye have not returned unto me, saith the Lord. Therefore thus will I do unto thee, O Israel, and because I will do this unto thee, prepare to meet thy God, O Israel. God had brought one calamity upon another to the people of the northern kingdom. Amos was a prophet in the time of Jeroboam II. And in a few years, the Assyrian Empire would conquer, devastate, and the northern kingdom, the 10 northern tribes, would cease to exist. Most of them would be carried away into Assyria, and the Cuthim from Assyria were brought in to repeople the land, and they, centuries later, would be called the Samaritan people, a mongrel and inbred race. The ultimate judgment was now coming. Prepare to meet thy God, O Israel. And the word is an imperative in the Hebrew. It is a command. It will be historically unavoidable. My subject this morning is rather strange, but I believe entirely relevant. Our subject is the ultimate prepper. The word prepper is a recent term in our society. A prepper is someone who seriously prepares for the very worst. A great natural disaster, a man-made catastrophe, atomic war, earthquakes, volcanic eruptions, hurricanes, plagues, or the general collapse of society, where society in a certain country or region may be in danger of extinction. The preppers are there. their underground bunkers, their water supply, their firearms, their medications, their foodstuffs, ready to survive the very worst for a week, a month, even perhaps for a year. These are the preppers. There is an advertisement on media which begins with these words: "You may not be a prepper yet, but you will be." It is the mentality of the age in which we live. Now, historically, this has not been true. Historically, everyone a generation or two ago was what we would call today a prepper. I grew up on a farm. We had milk cows. I churned butter as a small boy. Milk was not pasteurized. Every year at harvest time, we harvested the orchard. We harvested the gardens. My grandmother canned venison mincemeat with real meat in it. During the winter, the next spring, we would have mincemeat pies. A man could live on those. Real meat. We canned meat. We preserved meat, fruit, vegetables. That was a way of life. A way of life before electricity. A way of life before modern conveniences. A way of life living far from a grocery store. A way of life. Now, things are entirely different. I remember in the early 1950s, I believe it was about 51 or 52, we bought a large storage freezer. We didn't can as much fruits and vegetables. We froze much. And we had a very large freezer. Now we were dependent upon electricity. Statistically, it has been shown in our nation that most of our people would die without a month of electrical power. They couldn't survive. My wife's family lived in Florida. When I was teaching in the college in Texas, we would go to Florida during the summertime. And we were staying in Florida, and a hurricane passed through and devastated the Gulf states. We drove back through that devastation. In the middle of the street, along Highway 10, I believe, through the Gulf Coast, piles of garbage and rotten food were in the middle of the street to be picked up by loaders and hauled out to sanitary landfills. The stench was unbearable. Everyone's food spoiled because they had no electricity. So there has arisen in our modern time those who are called preppers. And I have personally been acquainted with some of them in this area. This began in the middle of the last century with fear of atomic war, and people began to build bomb shelters. Students were taught to hide under desks, and we had drills in the event of atomic war. A class of people arose that were the ultimate preppers. They built bomb shelters. Today you can find industries on the internet that cater to survivalists, survival handbooks, survival food storage, generators for sale, the way to survive, training in firearms, medication, so people can be entirely self-sufficient when the ultimate comes upon us. Now, we live in earthquake country here in California. Some of us have experienced some rather major earthquakes that have done damage to property. What will happen when the overpasses fall? what will happen when the electricity goes out and you're without electricity for 2 or 3 days. The food will spoil. You can't cook. People will become desperate. One of the preppers told me, he said, within 45 minutes to an hour, when it dawns upon people, they're going to attack the grocery stores. And they're going to strip the shelves. And nobody better get in their way. You don't want to be living inside the city limits at that time. So he told me, he was not a believer, but he was a survivalist, an expert in firearms. At work one day, there was an intellectual at work, and he said to him, he said, hold out your hand. And he put some gold coins in his hand. He said, when the economy falls, he said, I will be able to survive. And my friend reached in his pocket and said, put out your hand. And he did. And he dropped 3 rounds into it from his .38 special. And he said, my brass, copper, and lead outwise your gold any time. And the man turned white. He was a theoretical prepper. He said, would you teach me the use of firearms? He says, you want a .22, you want a sawed-off 12-gauge shotgun, and you want a handgun, and I'll train you how to use them. He was a former police officer. The prepper, prepare to meet thy God. I want to develop this subject. The majority of people, however, believe that a week's supply of food at home is sufficient. A month at the most. Most of us here have bottled water because our water in this area is not fit to drink. We have some bottled water, maybe a week or two of food, but we're really not that serious about it until the house begins to shake and we say, maybe this is the big one. Most people are not serious when it comes to making preparation for the ultimate. I have 5 considerations, and I base it on this. There is a distinct parallel between survival preparation and spiritual preparation. I want to draw that out. 5 considerations. My first is this. Who is the ultimate prepper? A prepper's world and life view is basically futuristic. They live daily. They watch world events. They watch the news media. And every day the predominant thinking is the ultimate will come and I need to be prepared and protect my property, my food, and my belongings from those who would seek to do me harm. Futuristic. They're ready to defend their territory and their supplies. According to our text, prepare to meet thy God, the religious prepper is one who knows the certainty of divine judgment and prepares beforehand for that inevitable event. This person may be a member of a cult, may be a true believer, but lives a life wherein the present activity is determined by future expectation. And we should live in that way, spiritually, religiously. Biblically, the ultimate prepper is one who has made peace with God through the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ. Fears not the ultimate day of judgment, because he stands before God reconciled, sins forgiven, and stands in the imputed righteousness of God's Son. My second consideration, do not let the majority influence you to scoff at ultimate preppers. So follow me closely if you would. Many think about preparing for the ultimate emergency, for the crisis, for the catastrophe. A person should have some medical knowledge and medical supplies. should be trained in first aid, should be trained perhaps in the use of firearms. I have a feeling that everyone on my block is going to be knocking at my front door. Even the vegans and the liberal leftist anti-gunners might be there. The issue is that most people really don't take this seriously until it's too late. They'll be in the crowd rushing to the grocery store and they'll find out that people are there with guns and they'll take what they want and they will have a rude awakening. But most people are not that concerned. Do you see the parallel now? We talk about religion. Most people are not that concerned, are they? Oh, you know, our family goes to church occasionally. Yes, we have a Bible at home. They might even say one time, years ago, I went forward in church and made my decision for Christ. I'm a Christian. I'm a believer. And like the one lady that I talked to, she said, I became a Christian in Sunday school when I was a little girl. I believe in Jesus. And I said, may I ask you a question? Yes. I said, what do you believe about him? She said, I don't know. I don't know. Well, what happened? I was in Sunday school and the Sunday school teacher said, if you want to be a Christian, raise your hand and repeat after me. And she prayed the prayer and now she's a Christian. Of course, it didn't show. She had lost her religious profession years before, but she was a Christian. That is the religious prepper. Just enough religion to salve the conscience, but really not that concerned. They've been told, of course, there are not too many prepper pulpits today. God is love, and God loves everyone. That's not a prepper pulpit. We are not warning men to flee from the wrath to come. We are not saying that God is a righteous God, a just God, a holy God, and that His law will be the standard on the final day of judgment. Most people have enough religion to salve their conscience. So there is a great parallel between the social prepper who has to defend his things against a fallen society and chaos and the religious prepper who is not that serious about religion. Do not let the majority then influence you, because the ultimate prepper is one who has a biblical assurance of deliverance, of salvation. The word salvation is soteria. It's a Greek term, soteria. I say that for one reason. It was originally a medical term. 80% of our medical terms came from the Greek to the Latin to the English. Well, what did soteria mean? It meant deliverance from a state of sickness to a healthy state. Is that your salvation? Has God delivered you from the penalty of sin, the guilt of sin, the reigning power of sin, the polluting character of sin, and has He delivered you into a spiritually healthy state where you are living as a Christian, trusting in the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ, and your life has been transformed by the gospel? Well, the idea of salvation has dwindled down to simply fire insurance from hell. It's not salvation at all. So don't be influenced by the majority who will tell you in their compartmentalized lives that salvation is okay here, but we don't want it to bother us over here. The prepper, be he in this world materially or be he spiritually before God, is one who wholeheartedly has given himself over to the future and deliverance and, for the believer, future glory in the Lord Jesus Christ. Our third consideration, what is the ultimate prepper's handbook? I have some handbooks on wilderness survival. My grandsons can tell you about this. And from the early years, I take them out. Even this last week, we had miner's lettuce. How many of you have ever eaten miner's lettuce? Brian, we stopped alongside the road on the way to the rescue mission. It was a little gritty alongside the road. Miner's lettuce, before it turns bitter, is just as good as raw spinach salad. It is absolutely delicious, and we've made salads out of it. Most survival foods don't taste that good, but you can survive on it. I'm glad there's not such a thing as wild broccoli. Survival foods. How to survive in the wilderness when you rely on yourself. And I've been in that position not so many years ago after my first hip replacement. And I found myself in a position where no one knew within several miles where I was. And the trail I had depended on was overgrown about 20 feet high in Scotch brooms from a forest fire. And I had to take the barrel of my gun and push aside one step at a time. And it took me all day into night to come out of Cahoon Spring. And I said, if I twist my ankle, I'm going to die in here. No one would know. They wouldn't find me for a month. And then I hit the forestry road and I walked back. I got to my truck just as the sunlight was fading and I cried out just a cry of victory. It was a great day in my life. I don't want to do it again, however. No, most people take spiritual things rather casually. A little fire insurance at the end. But religion is good here, but not here or here or here. It won't touch my morality. It won't touch my business ethics. It won't touch me here or there. There's a distinct parallel between prepping and spiritually having a right relationship with God. So what is the ultimate prepper's handbook? I like wilderness survival training. How to make fire. Not build a fire. How to make fire with flint and steel. How to make fire with a bow drill. How to go out there and take two sticks and make fire with it. That's awesome. If you can do that, you can do about anything. So I've read some of the prepper's handbooks. The ultimate prepper's handbook is the Bible. It is not only a map to guide us. It is not only giving us directions to a right relationship with God. It is our spiritual meat and our spiritual drink. There's a great parallel here. Our fourth consideration. The greatest catastrophe imaginable is a certainty, and it is future. Listen to John the Baptist preaching by the riverside. He saw the scribes and Pharisees come to his baptism. And he said, "You generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come?" And in the original language, it's the about to come wrath. It's the destined wrath. It's the wrath that has been rendered certain, the day of judgment. Listen to the Apostle Paul in 1 Thessalonians. "And to you who are troubled, rest with us, when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with His mighty angels, in flaming fire taking vengeance on them that know not God, and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of His power." There is a day of judgment coming. Not only is there a day of judgment coming, but the end of the world is coming. Have you noticed in the entertainment industry that they have motion pictures and so forth, and people write novels, and in their looming in their minds by nature is the thought that the world as we know it is going to end? And of course, they want to be one of the few survivors, don't they? And start all over again. Why is that in the minds of men and women? How many of you remember the 1989 earthquake? Yes, that was the opening of the World Series in San Francisco. And as the hunks of concrete were falling and so forth, what were people crying out? Is this the end of the world? Why is that thought inherent in people's thinking? Because man is the image bearer of God, and the work of God's law is indelibly inscribed upon his inner being. And when some great catastrophe happens, that's the first thing they think of. Maybe this is the end. When an earthquake shakes our Bay Area, what do people think? Is this the big one? I can remember the 1989 earthquake. We just got through with a Bible conference. Two preachers were staying in our home. They had just left a few hours before. My wife was exhausted. She says, I'm going to go in and take a nap. Wake me up at 5 o'clock. And that's when the earthquake hit. And she came down the hallway about half asleep like a pinball bouncing on one side. So I grabbed her and then it stopped. We're standing under the big clock above us. And then it started again, and the clock showered us with broken glass. The only thing that broke in the entire house. So we went outside. All the cars were in the driveway going like this because all of their fluids were shaken. I'd never seen anything like that in my life. I didn't see the ground roll or the pavement roll. I wish I could have seen that. My neighbor, who is a white collar ungodly man, they're the worst, the white collar ungodly man. He would cuss. He would always say things against the preacher who lived across the door. Always making fun of religion. Always saying, hey, you want to hear a religious joke? No. Always doing that. He came out of there bleached white in the face and he moved to New Mexico. He said, this I cannot take. And he was gone. He moved. It was an interesting time. And what did we say? Is this the big one? Well, the greatest of all imaginable catastrophes is a certainty. People talk about the Big Bang theory that originated the universe. I believe in the Big Bang, but it's not past, it's future. Let me read from 2 Peter chapter 3. The heavens and the earth which are now, by the same word are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise. And the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Yes, the Big Bang is coming. God is going to dissolve this entire universe, the heavens and the earth. And then He will create new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. And then Peter says, because you look for such things, you see them as a future certainty, what type of people you ought to be living righteously and godly in this present evil world. Yes, the greatest catastrophe imaginable, the destruction of this present universe, the planets, the stars, everything will be gone. And God will recreate new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. Are you prepared for that? Are you prepared to meet God? Are you the ultimate prepper? Now the final consideration. Only those who have become ultimate preppers will survive. So let me say this, lest you misunderstand. The prepper is a survivor. He or she has done everything that he or she could to stockpile food medications, firearms. You have to protect in case somebody tries to take from you that which is yours. A good water supply, generators for electricity, enough gas to run a generator for a month or two, everything you could possibly think of, the underground bunker, all of that, because their thought is some way, somehow, I will survive. But the believer's not a survivor. I'm not contradicting what I've said this morning. You see, we come into the kingdom of God through faith, not through fear. It is not mere survival. It is becoming a member of God's family. It is believing in the Lord Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. It is taking Him. It is, by faith, laying hold of His righteousness, that perfect righteousness, having our sins forgiven, and being at peace with God. Our Lord's perfect life, lived under the law, we call His active obedience. That is imputed to us. His perfect life fulfilled the demands of the law. His passive obedience, His suffering and death paid its penalty. In the Lord Jesus Christ alone, there is a complete and perfect righteousness. We have an assurance of faith. The Holy Spirit is our seal until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of His glory. We are prepared. We're prepared for this life. We're prepared for death. We're prepared for the glory of the resurrection. We have a scriptural assurance of our salvation because it is by faith and not by fear. I am not saying that the message of Christianity is to flee from the wrath to come and be a survivor. I'm saying make peace with God. Prepare to meet Him. Meet Him in faith now through the person and work of His Son. And then the future is in His hand. Are you familiar with Job? Job lived about the time of Abraham or possibly the time of Moses. He was a true believer. He lived in Arabia. He had no Bible. But he knew God. And God permitted him to be tried almost more than any other man had been tried. He lost his family. God didn't take his wife. The devil wasn't allowed to take his wife. She was a thorn in his flesh, evidently. Going to retain your integrity? Curse God and die. He said, "You speak as a foolish woman. We've received good at the hand of the Lord. Shall we not also receive evil?" Then God smote him physically. Took everything from him. Smote him with running leprosy and elephantiasis. The two most horrible diseases ever known to man. But didn't kill him. And there he was. He cursed the day of his birth. He was brought as low as any man could be without dying. And then he said, "Oh, that my words were inscribed with a pen in the rock." He said, "The worms destroy my body, yet in my flesh shall I see God." He believed in the hope and the glory of the resurrection. Do you have that hope and that glory? And he didn't have a Bible. He believed in the truth and the glory of the resurrection, that this life does not end at all. It is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment. So Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for Him shall He appear the second time, apart from sin, unto salvation. Yes, after death is the judgment. Do you watch the advertisement on television? Retirement, 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 retirement. Get a good career. Invest in gold. Invest in silver. Invest in this. Invest in that. All for that handful of years at the end of your life. Your retirement. 10 to 15 years at the most. And they never look beyond that to the reality of death. Now, I'm not well gifted in mathematical things. But statistically, I think that possibly death is a certainty. They never talk about the certainty of death. the Bible does, and then it states, and after this, the judgment. Are you the ultimate prepper? Have you made peace with God here and now? And can you live with the confidence and assurance that your life and your destiny, your heart, your soul, your mind is in the hands of your loving Heavenly Father? That is the ultimate prepper. Not by fear, not merely to survive, but by faith to be a child of God and to know the glory of eternity in God's presence. Sins forgiven in heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. The ultimate prepper. Prepare to meet thy God. Father, bless, we pray, your word. Glorify yourself in it. Might this message penetrate the minds and hearts of everyone here. And might we know that the true issue of preparation is to prepare to meet you, O Lord. Awaken those who are asleep, who are casual in religion, and might they prepare to meet thee. O Lord God, we pray not in judgment, but in salvation. This is our prayer. Glorify yourself in it. Through Jesus we pray. Amen.